This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Philip C and I'm Wong Xiaoning. Now, we're currently, of course, following all the stories coming out of the political situation in Malaysia. And interestingly, we should also take a different view in terms of how foreigners are viewing this. Because 72 hours following the resignation of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin as the 8th Prime Minister of our country, we have been inundated with political developments through local and social media.
I mean, the commentary and analysis is awash by our own and sometimes self-anointed political pundits as they try to second guess who will be the next Prime Minister.
Including all of us.
Yes, including all of us. But really, for me, I'm wondering, you know, what does the outside world think about what's happening in Malaysia? Is there grave concern over the political instability? Or is just there's the realization that this is just part and parcel of the messiness of democracy?
Yeah, because Malaysia is not alone in its political challenges. As COVID has triggered street protests in Indonesia, a military coup in Myanmar, and the Thai Premier himself facing a no-confidence vote in Parliament. Now, as our neighbours and allies with strong economic and social linkages wait to see how the political situation unfolds in our country, we ask, will this alter critical bilateral relations and the balance of power with economic and political allies in the region? So to help us get a global perspective on our own political developments, we have on the line with us Ross Tapsell, a senior lecturer and researcher at the Australian National University. Good morning, Ross. Now, how much coverage globally is Malaysian political changes actually registering?
Well, good morning, everyone. Yes, I think actually Malaysia deserves more coverage. Obviously, when we think about mainstream media, we think about Afghanistan at the moment dominating the headlines. But I think broadly, you know, internationally in scholarship and media, the change of government in 2018 in Malaysia probably hasn't got as much coverage as it should, because what is fascinating about Malaysia's change of government is you had a government in power for 60 years, the Barisan Nasional, which scholars called an electoral authoritarian regime. And that was felled by an election. And that's not actually that common globally, right? So usually electoral authoritarian regimes fall in different ways, you know, storming a parliament or a coup or, you know, some dramatic political development. But to lose an election that is often gerrymandered and through malapportionment and so on in favour of the regime is actually quite incredible. Mm. So that's something that I think since that point, scholars have started to look at Malaysia and international communities looked at Malaysia as a really interesting place now politically.
Yeah, but do you think that's why it's not registering so much? Because when you contrast, this is really nothing compared to what we see in Thailand and Indonesia, which, you know, you tend to see more riots and demonstrations.
Yes, I also think it's incredibly confusing for those who aren't following closely, right? And it's confusing. I've been working on Malaysia for about 8 years and have been coming to Malaysia for 8 years. And I still try and, you know, think, what is going on at the moment? So I think there is an element of confusion around what to make of this current stage in Malaysian politics, because Malaysia has often been seen, particularly in Australia and the US and Western Europe, as a bit like Singapore, a bit predictable, a bit, you know, boring, while in the past few years we've seen these dramatic changes of government. And so are we thinking about Malaysia now as somewhere that should be more like Thailand or more like Indonesia and less like a predictable electoral authoritarian regime like Singapore?
But at the same time, right, aren't what we are going through part of the process and also the growing pains of a democracy? Because, of course, prior to 2018, I mean, we were so used to a single coalition government since independence.
Exactly. That's the fascinating question right now, is that are we looking at, you know, should we compare this to Indonesia's reformasi, where you had, you know, only Habibie in power for 17 months and then Gus Dur for 21 months. You know, are we seeing a similar pattern here in Malaysia where it is growing pains of a democracy? Or are we looking at now that UMNO and is now back in the prime ministership and presumably, you know, calling all the shots from this point, are we looking at a return of the electoral authoritarian regime and a return of UMNO as the ruling power, not just another political party of which there are many? That's the question now for Malaysia.
And let's just cross the border over to Singapore, right, which is a very important ally for us and partner. You know, Prime Minister, the 8th Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, had a very close and cordial relationship with Singapore. Do you think Singapore is worried with the recent political developments?
Yeah, I was in Singapore actually in 2019 for a year. So, you know, a year after the change of government in Malaysia. And I mean, it's fascinating, right? Singaporeans and Singaporean institutions and media and think tanks are fascinated by Malaysia and do a lot of excellent work on Malaysia. You can read some of the best stuff on Malaysian politics in Singapore. You can't read the best stuff on Singaporean politics in Singapore, obviously. But there was a lot of discussion about what's going on in Malaysia. You know, what does this mean for the PAP? You know, social media, for example, how is that changing political discourse and younger voters? Is Singapore going to have the same disillusionment amongst younger voters that's happening in Malaysia? There are comparisons being made, but overall the conclusion was, you know, PAP and the Singaporean regime, government is in a much stronger position than was the then Najib government. And obviously, you know, the corruption scandal of Najib is not being played out in similar ways in Singapore.
And Ross, I want to bring the conversation to ASEAN. So if we combine with the political turmoil in Thailand, does it make it harder for us as an ASEAN bloc to push through any reforms it wants in places like Myanmar?
Yeah, ASEAN's such a tricky one, isn't it? And there's people who work all the time, you know, full time on ASEAN and do a much better job than I. And I'm, you know, thinking of now Martin Nitelagawa's book, you know, Does ASEAN Matter? Does ASEAN matter? You know, that question is still, the fact that that question is being raised by someone who worked closely with ASEAN does suggest something. You know, all of the analysis seems to talk about, you know, the failures so far in Myanmar, and that will be, you know, interesting to see these developments and to see whether Malaysia does play more of a dominant role in trying to assist, but with developments there in Myanmar. But obviously, everybody's worried about their own, and countries are becoming more insular due to the pandemic at the moment because they've got a lot to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, talk about insularity, because actually we really haven't heard of any major calls from Western governments or even Western institutions for elections. You know, we've had one election and this is now the third government within the first election. Do you think that that call not to have an election is really as a result of this pandemic?
Election in Malaysia?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think you're right. I think everybody's sort of focused on their own countries at the moment and case numbers. You know, I'm in lockdown here in Canberra and all the news is really domestic about what's going on with coronavirus and so on. But I do think there's this sort of narrative which is sometimes pushed that that Malaysia has been delaying elections and delaying parliamentary proceedings and using the pandemic as an excuse. And I've seen some writings along those lines that the Tan Sri Muhyiddin government was doing that. And so if that does continue, I think we'll see more articles like that from foreign scholars and foreign analysts talking about undemocratic practices of a new government. But obviously, you know, it is a difficult situation given the pandemic and sitting in parliaments and so on, causing COVID outbreaks. So it is a nuanced situation.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Ross Tapsell, senior lecturer and researcher at the Australian National University. And I think we both chuckled with his very interesting point that in Singapore, you can find a lot of information, a lot of articles on Malaysian politics, but not much on their own domestic political situation.
It's very hard to look at yourself in the mirror, isn't it?
Yeah. It's also the situation in Singapore. I mean, there are questions over the level of control that the government has over all the media outlets, right? As you all know, I do love to read the Singapore Straits Times to find out what's happening in Malaysia. But meanwhile, we still are asking you on our Twitter handle this morning, with our political developments, do you think that these are growing pains of a better democracy? And so far, we've had close to 200 votes. And 59% say no, it's a sign of deterioration, while 31% say yes, it's part of the process, while 10% say they don't know.
You know, I was contrasting with what Ross Tapsell was saying, you know, and he comes from Australia, where there's so many political
changes
and backstabbing, right? Even between the Liberal and Labour Party. So, you know, where people just change power very fast, right? And change leaders very fast. So, in a sense, I kind of understand why people would say, yes, it's part of the process, because it's already reflected and happening even in developed democracies. But, you know, I can also understand why people also say, no, it's a sign of deterioration as well.
I think what's critical is that the institutions supporting the government need to be strong so that we still continue to function. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.